The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. You know what? I'm not even going to let you say good morning before I wrap up the sports question. I just realized if I don't do it now, I'm never going to remember to do it. Did you hear the question as a matter of interest, Anthony?
I didn't, no.
Fascinating question. In tennis, what piece of fruit is found at the top of the men's Wimbledon trophy? I did not even know there was a fruit.
I had no idea at all, and I could only hazard a guess, which would be kind of a cynical guess, because, you know, strawberries and cream go with Wimbledon, who knows?
Exactly. That's what I would have guessed. That's exactly what I would have guessed. David Zimmerman says it is a pineapple, of course. Lee says a guess, a strawberry. I would have gone that way. Karen says a pineapple. Sports question, it must be a fig because it's a figment of your imagination. That is from Mervyn. The answer actually is that it's a pineapple because somehow it symbolizes hospitality.
Okay.
So there you have it. I had absolutely no idea. And now we've all learned something. Even if it's just from Louis Karpis, hey? Fascinating.
Thank you for that.
For what?
For that new piece of information.
Useless information. But there you have it. Fascinating. Fascinating indeed. Anthony Reich, how are you? How was your weekend?
Boker tov, shavua tov, chodesh tov. The weekend was good. Thank you very much. And we're still talking about Corona. How are we talking too much about Corona? What do the listeners think? Is this too much now? It's just everywhere. We can't escape from it.
Yeah. Okay. The one thing I have learned is that sounds terrible, Anthony, but it's not a democracy. I can ask our listeners our opinion. I certainly can't have them dictating
the minority view and go with that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, the COVID is a huge issue, and certainly in South Africa, we are in a significantly poorer position at the moment in terms of numbers. I do think that in many ways we're handling it very well, but more than 4,000 new cases a day. 11% compounded growth in Gauteng alone per day. So it's very, very frightening. Tell us about what's going on in Israel, though.
Well, there has been a steady growth in the number of new cases in this second wave that's not being called a second wave. We've got to be cautious, politically correct about whether we call it a second wave or not. We're hitting around 300 to 400 new cases on a daily basis, which for us is a lot. And we've also had an increase in the number of seriously ill patients around the 40 mark being hospitalized with serious symptoms, and approaching almost 30 people actually being intubated at the moment. But unfortunately, that only tells half the story because there is this steady growth. And the problem is that there is kind of a delay until it gets to certain stages. And my fear is that within the next week or 2 weeks, suddenly going to see an increase, a more dramatic increase in the number of more serious cases. I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, the challenge for the Israeli government and for the Corona cabinet in particular is now that we've embarked down this route of opening up and the restaurants are open and the gyms are open and they've even allowed gatherings of, celebrations, cultural events and things like that. And even today, the trains finally went open after 89 days without a train service. Trains are finally open today. So there's this whole opening up process and we're heading into the summer holiday period now. The question is what next? What does the Corona cabinet decide to do next? They are due to be meeting today. Lots and lots and lots of conflicting advice. It's just so crazy how much conflicting advice comes out in the press. Some are painting a real doomsday picture of what the second wave might look like. Thousands of people a day being diagnosed, tens if not hundreds of people dying. Real doomsday picture came out from the IDF Intelligence Corps report that predicted a huge rise in fatalities. But that's been criticized by epidemiologists and others saying that that's not realistic. It's hard to know whether they're trying to scare us into complying with the regulations, because unfortunately, people are not adhering to the rules. And I know you've had your say, Howard, on more than one occasion on the issue of people adhering to the rules. Are they wearing masks? Are they not wearing masks? You and I have a small difference in that. I think that when people go exercising, running outside or whatever, I think that wearing a mask is a virtual impossibility. I certainly don't wear one when I go running. It's not required in Israel. I think that my lungs would collapse if I tried to wear a mask while out running. So here it's not required. I know that in your particular neck of the woods it's slightly different, but there is certainly no excuse for people getting into buildings and shops and lifts and places which are closed up and not wearing a mask. Certainly no excuse, and certainly on buses and things like that where it does tend to be quite crowded. So lots and lots of conflicting advice. Nobody really seems to have the ultimate answer for what we should and should not be doing. And so people are just bumbling along, trying to do the best that they can, in the most part, and trying to keep things moving. You know, we're in a situation now where we are definitely trying to keep things moving, and there is a fear that when the Corona cabinet meets later today, that they may choose to try and pull back the strings a little bit, you know, pull things a little bit back. But we'll have to see what they decide later on.
Yeah, really, really scary, because Israel was doing so incredibly well with it. I still believe the numbers in Israel are, you know, I think Israel still is doing well, but frightening nevertheless. The Tel Aviv municipality has decided to reduce the number of car parking spaces that it'll authorize to be included in new offices and residential constructions, as if it wasn't bad enough. What is going on here?
Well, once upon a time, when I remember way back in the day, it was required to have a minimum number of parking spaces, off-street parking spaces, when new buildings were being constructed.
Yeah, it has to be worked out per square meter. For each square meter, you had to have a certain amount.
A certain minimum number in order to avoid congestion in parkings around in the streets around where the place is being built. These days in Tel Aviv, it's exactly the opposite. Now there's a maximum number of off-street parkings that are being authorized, and the new regulation says that the new residential buildings will only be allowed to have a half a parking space per housing unit in the city center and 0.8 of a parking space per housing unit in the outer areas beyond the city center itself. Now, I don't know who's got a half a car that can park in a half a parking space, but obviously the idea is only one parking space for every two residential units. And this is all about trying to get cars off the street. Simple as that. It's got nothing to do with congestion of parking. It's got to do with congestion of traffic in the central part of Tel Aviv. Back in 2018, the parking space requirements were actually already reduced, and apartments up to 120 square meters that were north of the Yarkon River, so outside of the central area, were allowed to have 1.33 parking spaces, and the rest of the city one. That's now been reduced, as I said before, to 0.8 and 0.5. And also, when talking about office buildings, there's now new rules which relate to how far or how near the building is from a light rail station that is not even constructed yet. I mean, we've got rules that are being made about parkings relative to how far these locations are from light rail lines and light rail stations, which are not even yet working and not even constructed. So the idea is really to try to reduce the number of cars in Tel Aviv. And that's one of the reasons, for example, why they're putting in more and more bicycle lanes, because people are saying, well, they're encroaching upon the roads. Well, they're encroaching upon the roads purposefully in order to get cars not to drive
off the roads.
Yeah, exactly. So the city of Tel Aviv is now going down this route of trying to encourage people not to bring their cars to Tel Aviv and not to own a car if you live in Tel Aviv. That's now the route that things are being taken. So bicycles are all the rage. We've already seen the scooters and how the scooter craze works in Tel Aviv, with everybody just hopping on rental scooters from every street corner and bicycle lanes. And now this limit of the number of parking spaces, which means people really won't be able to own a car if you live in central Tel Aviv. There's no place to park it off street, and certainly on street is a virtual impossibility. So people just will not have cars. And that's, I think, where the city of Tel Aviv is going. It's an interesting kind of change of mind about how people need to think when they're living in the city center.
Absolutely, and I think this is going to be a trend around the world where I even know people here who have given up their cars because they say they might as well just use Uber, and then they don't have everything, all the issues that come with owning their own car. So I do think that there is a trend towards saying, well, do we actually need to have a vehicle of our own, or maybe in a family where you would have had two vehicles, but you know, rather maybe only have one. So it is a fascinating trend that, and not surprisingly, Tel Aviv is a bit ahead of its time. Tell us also, talking about this, and this is clearly something that Tel Avivians are going to be most excited about, legislation, not that I think that it stopped them before, but legislation is being introduced to the Knesset this week to legalize the use of cannabis for private consumption.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the cannabis has been a subject of debate, not only in Israel, but indeed around the world. And we've seen so many attempts to legalize and so many arguments against legalizing it. I'm still not quite sure whether cannabis is something that could be damaging or not be damaging. I mean, the idea was obviously to try and protect people's health. And I believe that there certainly are cases where cannabis has done damage to people's health, but apparently not enough to stop the Knesset and certainly not the Ministerial Committee for Legislation that met yesterday and actually approved the bill that will legalize cannabis use in Israel. The idea of the bill, the way that it's worded at the moment, it says that possession and consumption up to 15 grams by anybody who's over 21 years old will be entirely legal. That will be absolutely legal, that if you have and consume up to 15 grams, then you are on the safe side of the law. Mm. More than that, if you have in your possession up to 50 grams of marijuana, then that's actually going to become decriminalized. So even though it's not legal, but it will not be a criminal offense as such to possess up to 50 grams of marijuana. This doesn't mean that you can grow it at home. This doesn't mean that you can deal in it, and this doesn't mean that you can possess more than 50 grams, because what's going to happen is that certain shops will then be authorized, will be licensed to be able to sell marijuana, and people can go along to these places and buy it legally for their own personal use up to a certain amount. And of course, there's this whole massive area of medical marijuana, which has already been blossoming, pardon the pun, in Israel for some time. And you know, it's also medical marijuana is already being produced here on something of an industrial scale, being exported to all parts of the world. And of course, this particular bill will just help the whole medical marijuana side in terms of people consuming it in Israel for medical purposes. So, of course, as you would have expected, the housing minister, Yaakov Litzman of the United Judaism Party, and also Jerusalem Affairs Minister Rafi Peretz were the two from the ministerial committee who voted against this bill. But the bill has now been passed by a majority in the ministerial committee, and it's due to be introduced for legislation in the Knesset on Wednesday, which will be the first of three votes. It'll be interesting to see whether the Knesset chooses to support this or not. I think there's probably enough people in the Knesset who are willing to support this, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if this is introduced to law in a fairly short order, in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, and try controlling people's COVID behavior after that. Time is about to go 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time.